You're listening to the 14th episode of The Gearheart. I'm your reader, writer, and host, Alex White. Renee White is the voice of our female characters. If you haven't had a chance yet, or you're listening on iTunes or podiobooks.com, you can stop by the Gearheart blog and interact at www.thegearheart.com. There you'll find podcaster interviews, articles, the Gearheart soundtrack, and more. Or you can email me at alex@thegearheart.com. Don't forget that you can also follow us on Twitter, username TheGearHeart. And now, settle in, pour a cup of tea, and enjoy as we bring you more tales of The Gearheart. Last time on The Gearheart, Jonathan's appointment with the Cirrus didn't go as planned, and he lost control. When the beast inside him emerged to destroy Cog, only the Cirrus could cage it again. Now that the initiate is back in control, can he help Isabel? Find out on The Gearheart. The palatial halls of the Seekermain house floated past Jonathan as he accompanied a grim squadron of Queensmen to the infirmary. Everything was so blurry, the lights bled together into one another, and the floors seemed to rock beneath him. Jonathan was only dimly aware of the presence of the armed guards, and he never really bothered to look at them. They were just men in suits, men specifically chosen because their features were completely uninteresting. The 8 Queensmen flanked a stretcher, upon which was Cog's motionless body. Everyone from initiates to officiates cleared the hall as the procession passed, trying hard not to make eye contact, but being unable to suppress their curiosity. Augustus walked beside her, his eyes full of frustration and anger. It made him look younger than usual, but Jonathan scarcely noticed. There were other thoughts in his mind. Thoughts of Isabel. Jonathan hadn't told Augustus yet, but the boy genius obviously sensed that Jonathan was withholding information. Jonathan hadn't spoken one word to Augustus since the young man had punched him, and it was just as well. The initiate wasn't exactly eager to tell Augustus that he was the one who had put Cog out of commission. He certainly didn't want to tell Augustus that Isabel was potentially dying in that very instant. Agent Ellsworth had apologized for losing his temper, and Jonathan preferred not to tell him that, well, he was justified. Instead, Jonathan had silently passed off Cog's choker and moved to the head of the group, where the Queensmen could easily kill him if something went wrong. Even then, a persistent little voice in Jonathan's mind told him to take the stone back from Augustus and destroy it. Even then, after all that they had been through together, there was a little voice telling Jonathan that he couldn't trust Cog. Jonathan had told the little voice that he would be more than happy to leap from the tallest building nearby if it didn't be quiet. It did quiet. Before he knew it, Jonathan was standing in the infirmary, over Isabel's unconscious body. She was so pale, so devastated as she lay there under the bright lights of the treatment ward. Her brown hair was matted to her forehead, and her breath was shallow and rattling as it passed in and out of her blue lips and clenched teeth. The medical staff had covered her in piping hot blankets and tied down her extremities, which strained against the straps of the bed. Quickly, Cog's stretcher was transferred to a medical bed next to Isabel, and several other technicians appeared with toolkits. Jonathan could hear Augustus arguing with the medical staff about transferring Cog to a lab where she could get better care. He could tell that the snowy-haired man didn't want to acknowledge what he was seeing, but one of the Queensmen calmly brought him back to reality. "The Cirrus thought that you should operate here, in case Agent Kerriker doesn't make it, Agent Ellsworth," he heard the Queensman state firmly.
"I know," Augustus replied with a weak smile. "I'm just not sure I can work like this."
The scene was one of utter confusion as doctors and magi alike rushed about, desperately trying to administer aid. Darren stood by Isabel, with his palms over her body, his face contorted in pain.
His hands shook, and a sickly pallor washed over him as green streamers of arcane energy leached from Isabel's body into his outstretched arms. As his pain reached a crescendo, a vein in Darren's forearm exploded as though he had just been sliced with a blade. The bearded man yelped as he was thrown back against the wall and blood sprayed across the floor below him. Then Isabel began to scream. It was a horrible, empty, elemental thing, piercing Jonathan's mind as he stood there, wide-eyed.
"Sedate her now!" Darren shouted over the cacophony. "She's hemorrhaging energy, and she doesn't need to be screaming it out!"
Another doctor rushed into the room, filling a syringe as a nurse ran to stifle Darren's bleeding with a towel. The nurse helped Darren up, and he noticed Jonathan and Augustus for the first time. His eyes traveled past the young technician to Cog's body, and Jonathan saw the slightest twitch of Darren's eye. "Is she going to live?" Darren asked matter-of-factly.
"I don't know. Her, stone is intact, so I'm guessing yes," Augustus replied.
"Is she going to get any worse?" Darren followed.
"I don't see how that would happen," said Augustus.
Darren froze Augustus with a look. "Yes or no?" Augustus grimaced as he surveyed Cog's lifeless body.
"No, she won't worsen."
Darren knotted the towel around his bleeding arm and jerked it tight. He took a deep breath and straightened to his full height, rolling his shoulders back. Jonathan had never seen him so imposing. He'd always considered their medic to be relatively easygoing.
"Go to the routing center," Darren commanded. "Tell them that you absolutely must run a patch from here to the infirmary. I don't care where you draw power from, just get me as much raw arcane energy as you can. Run cables or anything else you can find."
One of the Queensmen spoke up.
"The Lady Cirrus would like to volunteer her grid. She left instructions for these circumstances."
"Fine," said Darren. "Get to the Cirrus's temple, patch power from there."
Augustus's eyes began to redden.
"Can I ask what's wrong with her?"
"Her core is fractured," Darren breathed.
Jonathan didn't know what that meant, but he understood well enough from Augustus's reaction. The snowy-haired man blanched even more.
"What? That shouldn't even be possible," cried Augustus. "How?"
"Don't make me regret telling you by wasting time. Get to work."
Augustus took two of the technicians with him and bolted from the room. Shortly thereafter, Isabel began to convulse and choke. The young girl fought the straps of the bed as hard as she could, nearly managing to sit up as she ground her teeth. Jonathan rushed to her side and seized her hand.
"Isabel, stop straining," he tried to soothe as the doctors pushed him away. "It's fine, just lay back."
The doctors swarmed around her and pushed her back into bed. Isabel wailed in agony as her eyes met Jonathan and her quivering fingers reached out for him.
"Jonathan,"
she whispered.
"The hangman wants—"
But she couldn't continue. She lost her concentration and began to seize again.
"How much sedative for something like this, Dr. Freeman?" asked the doctor with the syringe tapping out bubbles.
Darren's gaze fell to the wound on his forearm.
"Enough to make her comfortable until the end."
Something inside Jonathan exploded, but he managed to keep it in check.
"What? No!"
"Jonathan," Darren began.
"No, you said you were going to patch power from the Cirrus's temple. You said you could fix her."
"That isn't going to work. I need the power now."
The doctor with the syringe put it to Isabel's arm, and Jonathan lit into him with clenched fists. Before the doctor could even regain his bearings, Jonathan was standing over him.
"Touch her with that again, and I will kill you,"
Jonathan warned, affixing the doctor with an icy stare.
"I never said that I could fix her, Jonathan,"
Darren shouted.
"What's wrong with you? You're giving up too easily,"
Jonathan shouted back.
"She has a wound that maybe occurred one other time in the history of man. There is no cure. Then stave off the effects until you can find one."
Darren tore at his hair and got right in Jonathan's face.
"That requires more energy than I can give, Jonathan. It would kill me."
"You've always been so unknowable, Darren,"
Jonathan growled in low tones, the fury heavy on his voice.
"You mean to tell me that the famous Agent Freeman doesn't have one trick up his sleeve for this occasion?"
"Please,"
came the hoarse sound of Isabel's voice.
"Stop fighting. I'm all right. It's all right."
She shivered as she spoke.
I'm fine now.
Jonathan pushed past another doctor and took Isabel's hand once more.
Isabel, I'm so sorry I wasn't with you.
The hangman's targeting you, Jonathan,
she whispered with a pained smile.
I'm glad you weren't there.
The awful truth fell upon Jonathan's mind like a hammer. Isabel was attacked to draw him out. The hangman had issued them a challenge that he knew Jonathan would not fail to answer. Their enemy must have known that they could keep her alive long enough to deliver the message, and the hangman must have known that she would tell Jonathan first. He wanted to cry, but he simply couldn't. There just wasn't time. Jonathan turned back to face Darren, releasing Isabel's clammy hand. You do have the energy you need, Darren. I'm not going to be able to treat her if I kill myself in the process, Jonathan, Darren replied coldly. Jonathan clenched his teeth and straightened himself as he spoke. You don't have to. Take some energy from me. It will kill you, Jonathan. If she dies, I can't guarantee the lives of anyone in this room, so why don't you try me out? The remaining Queensmen in the room moved up to Jonathan in a heartbeat. The young man could feel their eyes upon his neck, waiting for him to make another aggressive maneuver. They hadn't intervened before, possibly because they could sense that his threat to the doctor was false, but they believed him this time. Darren's eyes met Jonathan's, and the bearded man passed him a nasty scowl. The doctor traced his acidic green glyph in the air, and it pulsated with frightful power. As you wish, Darren snarled. Then he seized Jonathan by the neck, and everything fell into screaming blackness. The air around Jonathan seemed warm and oppressive, as though someone had lain dozens of blankets upon his form. It was unbearable, like waves of heat were reflecting across his body, making him more nauseated with each pass. He tried to get up, but he couldn't move. His arms and legs weren't under his sway. They fed him information, such as how hot things were, but refused to obey his commands. His eyelids were heavy, and he tried to open his eyes, but simply felt his brow rise. Jonathan's head spun, and his stomach churned, threatening to empty itself if he didn't settle down. As his abdomen lurched, the young man began to take a deep breath and try to aerate a little to freshen his body. As he felt the cool air flow into his lungs, a soothing feeling overtook him. Then it felt like someone poured boiling salt water down the length of his trachea. Jonathan's efforts to prevent regurgitation were entirely in vain, and he realized this as he choked out the previous day's breakfast all over his bedsheets. Every muscle in his body burned acutely, and his throat felt as if it had been flayed up and down by a cheese grater. This feeling was only compounded by his stomach acids coating his vocal cords. As he went into fits of heaving, Jonathan cheerily realized that he could, in fact, move, and that he was doubled over on his destroyed bedsheets. "Seems like you were as tough as you said, Jonathan," he heard Darren say. Every time he tried to breathe in, his throat seized up a little, but he eventually got control of himself.
"You couldn't tell just by looking at me?"
Jonathan laughed weakly as he pulled his face out of his own vomit. "Well, your other half is a pretty tough guy." Jonathan sort of snickered over the awkward wording of Darren's statement, but then was reduced to a coughing fit. Before long, he could feel his own throat closing up, and he found himself unable to breathe. Within seconds, Jonathan was up on his feet, frantically looking for help as he clutched his swollen throat. He made his way over to Darren and grabbed the bearded man's shoulders, shaking them. "Try to calm down, Jonathan. That's a laryngeal spasm," he stated to the panicked initiate. Jonathan's eyes were wide and bloodshot, and he blanched horribly. Darren thought his lips might be turning blue. "Oh, Jonathan, you are not going to like this part," said Darren. Then the agent reached over to a table near Jonathan's bed and snapped off a twig from a small potted herb. Jonathan had no idea what Darren was doing, and he didn't care. As far as he could tell, the bearded man had chosen to take up horticulture in the middle of Jonathan's crisis. He desperately signaled to Darren, pointing to his gaping mouth and opening and closing his lips like a fish. Darren signed out a glyph and took on a little of Jonathan's swelling in his own throat. The agent then snapped a twig right under Jonathan's nose exposing Jonathan to an entirely new form of pain. An acrid, acidic odor poured down the initiate's airways and into his lungs, paralyzing the young man and putting him on the ground before he could even think. His chest burned, but he thankfully gasped for air, so he felt better in the most vital regard.
"Thanks. Thank you," Jonathan managed to grunt.
Jonathan finally got a chance to look around the room, albeit from the floor. It was a room quite similar to the one where he saw Isabel lying helplessly before. White cinder block walls, polished tile floors, and steel medical beds with tables next to each were the most prominent features. Near the doors, he saw another few sets of legs, and knew that he was under guard. He looked down at his viscous spittle and saw that it was crimson. Jonathan nearly managed to faint right then and there. Darren strode to stand over his comrade and patiently offered his hand.
"I'm fine, Doc," the initiate gurgled.
"Oh, sure," Darren replied. "I'd be fine, too, if over a third of the tissue in my body was spontaneously killed off and then regenerated." Jonathan passed Darren a nonplussed look, between grimaces and grunts of pain.
Shouldn't I be, well, dead, then?"
"Absolutely. I needed a lot of energy to stitch Isabel's fracture. Even more than I was expecting," Darren said, trailing off. He smacked his lips and he inhaled and sighed. Her body just kept taking and taking. It was all very delicate.
"She's all right, isn't she?"
"No," Darren replied with cold detachment. "No, she's not. But she's alive." All of Jonathan's pain seemed to disappear for a moment, replaced by a humming numbness. After everything that they went through, he thought her problem should have been over. Jonathan felt a sudden masochistic need and forced his body to climb to its feet. The pain was excruciating, yet refreshing. As he stood, he got a better look at the guards at the door. Well-dressed and expressionless, they were obviously Queensmen.
"How alive?"
Jonathan inquired. He couldn't quite bring himself to look Darren in the eyes. "I managed to stop her from hemorrhaging most of her energy with your help. If it wasn't for you volunteering, we wouldn't have come this far. Thanks to Augustus, we have her on sustainable life support. We're diverting power away from the Seeress's temple to keep her alive, but that isn't going well."
"How long can she stay like that?"
"Oh, conceivably for the rest of her life, actually," Darren replied. "She is conscious and happy, with the exception of a large pipe running from her chest."
"Well, that's good, I suppose."
"Not if you ask the Council. Some of them are pretty upset."
"Upset that we saved Isabel?"
Darren put his hand on Jonathan's shoulder and motioned for him to sit. He then began to examine Jonathan's eyes and ears, then prod the young initiate's muscles, waiting for him to wince. As Darren pressed upon Jonathan's arms, there was at first a pain like the soreness generated from a day of heavy lifting. As he pressed harder, Jonathan felt something like electricity shooting up his spine, the most immediate and severe of aches, like someone drilling into his teeth.
"You're in bad shape, Jonathan," Darren said. "You're a little pudgy yourself."
"That's not what I mean. I mean that you need to keep yourself from getting worked up about everything with Isabel."
"Why am I under guard?"
"They're actually here to protect you. Several of the council members are fairly serious about what happened in the Seeress's chambers, and they want to charge you with treason." Jonathan yelped as Darren squeezed his arm.
"Terrific!"
Darren leaned in a little closer and whispered to Jonathan, "I'm not sure what these men know, so listen. The council knows about your apocalyptic prophecies, and several barristers are accusing you of trying to trick the Seeress into diverting power away from her temple."
"Why would that matter?"
"She reads arcane energies like ancient oracles read bones." The image of the two black eyes clicked in Jonathan's mind.
"So that's what the butterflies were about. She's blind right now?"
"What butterflies?"
"Well, she has this thing that, well, they're kind of,
Darren patiently waited for Jonathan to finish.
I can't really explain it. There are some butterflies," Jonathan finished.
"Right.
Darren replied and started to check Jonathan's head for injury. So what else is our illustrious council up to? They want to disconnect Isabel.
What?
Jonathan shouted as he leapt to his feet. Agonizing vibrations crackled across his entire body, and he became too lightheaded to stand. Darren steadied him back onto the bed. Cool off, Jonathan. The Cirrus has barred them from taking any actions against Isabel for the time being.
But why would they ever want to let her die? What's the point?
Lest you forget, Jonathan, you prophesied the end of the world. Right now, our greatest advantage is blind, and Isabel's quality of life is scarcely good. She's lucid, but that's all I could do. Jonathan wanted to argue, to say that it was all so cruel, but the council made a terrifying sort of sense. Isabel's life was balanced against the fate of the world, and Jonathan was thankful that the scales hadn't tipped yet. He was snapped from his thoughts as Darren seized upon him and resumed his inspection.
I don't... Ow!
Jonathan winced as Darren's thumb found another sore spot.
I don't mean to be rude, but why on earth do you... Ow!
Trust me. Because we've all done terrible things, Jonathan. It's better if we don't hold that against people.
Even though Isabel has stabilized, will she be all right? What is the council up to, and will they choose to keep her alive? With the clock ticking, can Jonathan find the solution in time? Find out next time on The Gearheart.
This podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 license. For more information, visit creativecommons.org.
This week's podcast has been brought to you by Madame Romani's Old Timey Spirits. Do you have a love of high-class spirits, but you just can't seem to find the proof you need? Look no further than Madame Romani's Old Timey Spirits for the taste that'll have you walking through walls. Our spirits are 190 proof, handpicked by our team of four scientific experts from Columbia University and bottled against their will. Madame Romani's Old Timey Spirits, putting the boo back in your booze. And by Bachelorette Slims, the cigarette that says, "You've been through a lot, girl." Bachelorette Slims are crafted from only the finest blends of tobacco and potpourri with that soothing Bengay aftertaste. And Bachelorette Slims are available in two different flavors, menthol and mothball, for the taste that'll bring out the bachelorette in you. Bachelorette Slims, a sunset in every smile.